My name is Damon Thomas, and I'd like to welcome you to There Is a Life After Life, poetry and prose on the radio, good words to start the week. Let's begin with Jamie Lynn Lankenau, God is a Moth, Laura Hoffman Kelly, Surgical Intervention, and Kay Weber, Taking Care.
God is a Moth by Jamie Lynn Lankenau. Everyone blesses their food down here before they eat it. And their disposable dishes are blessed before they sail out of the passenger side window and collect in ditches on the side of the highway. Everyone knows each other, and their greetings become casual and short with everyone, whether they know them or not, because of this. There's an almost exclusionary way about local businesses that scream, "We are from here, we remain here," as the 1970s paneling peels upward from the floorboards, revealing curled linoleum. But the trees sing as they sway, and the Spanish moss blows like ghosts of the old ways, although the old ways are very much alive. Reminders in every aspect of every living and inanimate detail. God is in the swamp and on the radio. God is under your fingernails and stained on your shirt. God is quiet, hidden, and cautionary. There is a holy undertone in everything you consume and everything you lose. But perhaps my favorite metaphor I have absorbed yet is, God is a moth, and he eats your clothes.
Surgical intervention. Inspiration is leaking from my skull like cerebral spinal fluid. Iridescent drops that I cannot replace as they dry in itchy patches against the matted hair of my neck. Touch me. Just touch me. Help me hold it in. I want to write honest again.
Taking care. I was in the squares of Savannah, moon-eyed and just wed, honey-sunned, while relatives plucked my grandmother's best things and flowers. After the funeral, before the big auction, familial teeth and their twice-removed seething emerged in Ohio, gnawing the valuables faster than her cancer, beautiful objects and meaning sinking into the stomachs of their hungriest pockets. I returned on Thursday from the squares of Savannah, still shaded by October's magnolia and southern live oak memories. I was a new wife, missing the closest still married family member. There was ease in our many Midwestern days. I had to pick from an upheaval of leftovers, her once loved possessions. I took the angel, the quilt. I grabbed Life magazines, writing paper, and slim books I'd never see her read. I miss the chance to rescue her heavy, most grandfatherly clock that clicked our time together while the pendulum hypnotized like rhythm of rain or rocking chair on our quiet after-church afternoons. I hear it even decades later in my umpteenth wave of secondhand grief. When I was in Savannah, I absorbed each museum, riverwalk, and ghost. I was voracious, sneaking sand into my back pocket from Tybee Island. Handfuls of Spanish moss slipped into my purse at the green and gray Bonaventure Cemetery.
We've got more poetry with Lex Myron, Cycle, Victoria Nations, Wishes, Francesca Leder, The Walking Man, and Jean-Pierre Baker, Realizing.
Cycling underwater, I'm surrounded by blue. Weightless under sight, scratching skin. There's no one around. I can enter myself and not feel shame. No punishment awaits, but my heart quickened. Cells won't expand. I pedaled onto land. The oxygen lurched into my lungs. I love to round a strip, but someone might see that I'm empty and try to fill me.
Wishes. I saw the sun sink into the ocean, the water steaming up where it touched, and though the ocean was large, the sun was so much bigger. The sea boiled away as the sun balanced on the ocean floor, a sheath of glass spreading around it until the brittle sand shattered. The ocean fell, spilling into the earth through a jagged, gleaming tube lit from within. My heart broke to watch the sea creatures boiled until there was nothing left, drifts of shells charred by the heat and clacking as they popped like corn. Smothering darkness fell, filling the bottom of the ocean, and the sand cooled and crackled in the dark, and I could sense the canyon spread out before me. But all I could see were the stars overhead, so many falling that everyone's wishes would come true before they hit us. Thank you.
The Walking Man. Sometimes he's past the weed-laced railroad tracks when I see him walking toward me like some hippie gymnast in a trance. Treading the asphalt balance beam you can't call a shoulder. Insensate to the branches raking his unwashed hair from the verge, which is itself confused between luxuriant marsh and chained-up prison, falling down barn and baseball diamond. He stares at the white line, earbuds, and no shirt. At least not until September, when I see him, possibly for the last time, in a Carhartt, concession to the cold, but the same hiking sandals as before, the ghost of a pre-nascent desire, a thing I don't want but can't help watching, because it reminds me that I once wanted it, and could again if time rolled back 30 years in 1 second, and I forgot how to drive, having not yet learned, and careened off the road onto the hill where wild turkeys pluck gem insects from the grass, as he rescued me from the wreck, and it was just our 15-year-old selves, adjacent dark grove, obliging cover. I wouldn't be all that hurt or stunned, just enough to excuse, for both of us, what happened then.
Realizing, by Jean-Pierre Baker. Growing up, getting older, body changing, oceanside view, solemn sun above me, hues of blue before me. There's someone for everyone, I see. Straw hat in my youth, baseball cap in my senior. Maybe. I don't know. And that's a good day. Otherwise, I'd wait impatiently for the unfolding, for the big reveal. Baby girl aware of her fat feet flapping against the shoreline's mud. They look like they belong together. Walking the same, taking each other's shape. My heart timing the crashing of waves, each time reminding me to breathe. Does anyone else see? Tiny microscopic lit lights moving quick, slow, holding my attention in a daydream with their glow. Think I'm hot enough now. It's time for a baptismal dip. Then I'll let what's left of the sun dry me. I've forgotten about the necessity of two towels, but I won't forget the black, gray, white, red-orange color palette of the birds at sea.
We learn from reading, but sometimes just existing is enough to make a book educational. A quote from a novel I have not read. Here on There's a Life After Life. We talked all night at first. Dates would end, only to continue online. See the sunrise through different windows. say our goodnights. This changed with no explanation. I asked if things were okay, got reassurances, but no conversation. I tried a mix CD. It wasn't very subtle. Nirvana pleading, talk to me in your own language, please. I asked if things were okay, got reassurances, but we broke up. Years passed. I saw her online again. She had never listened to that CD, only heard as a date played it one night, accidentally ruined the mood. Nothing had been wrong. Routine was just scary when young. She knew I had tried. A quote from a novel I have not read. Just because the message may never be received does not mean it is not worth sending. And now we'll close out the show with Michelle Flores. What is a burial but a forgiving of promises? Johnny Rocket, Ars Poetica 1. Tim Gilmore, A Saying of Graces. And Chris Bodor with Brotherwell, This Place.
What is a burial but a forgiving of promises? The grave in the garden won't be satisfied till your name's next to mine. Coulter Wall. Forgiveness is such a tricky thing when one is forgiving a pain one has never earned. Some days I want to forgive my father, but I am at a loss on what I'm forgiving. My mother never wanted to be buried. She never wanted our tears to water the grass of her final resting place, never wanted me and my sister to mourn what she never got to be. She always imagined a life where she grew old, met her grandbabies, took time off work to help us mother. I wear my mother's clothes some days, a flannel shirt she wore around the Caja China every Christmas, her bejeweled purses that collected dust as the cancer spread, her costume jewelry that layered her neck and ears with a regal elegance she was made for. My father bought two graves on their last wedding anniversary. He said it was cheaper this way, said it made economic sense. One has to make sacrifices in a recession. When the economy got better, he remarried. My father has always been a practical man. He told me he didn't want to be buried next to my mother anymore. I wonder if my mother wants to be mourned now, if she visits me when I clean my boveda, if she notices I try to offer fuchsia flowers every week, if she notices I dry those flowers and burn them every new moon.
Ars Poetica number one. That's an awesome title, come on. That is
yeah. Yeah.
Because when the night falls, it rolls down the street like a wooden wheeled bicycle, stumbling over the sidewalks and asphalt rocks, crumbling under the weight of the thick, wet air, leaving splinters of itself in the chipped cracks of stone on its way to be blown by heavy wind into corners, to settle into them and remain through the turns of the day. Because it hangs around my neck like a pendant, twisting around itself on the chain, forcing me to finger it and manhandle it gently until it's set looking outwards again, unknotted. Because its weight increases with each turn of the day, forming rings around my neck, raw and chafed and drawing blood, marking me and reminding me of the choices to pick up things, which come at each other with pressure and permanency to mark the passing of time in different languages. Because to move through the night air is to move your skin, form your skin into knife edges, wave your arms to dancing, slice in angles and move in degrees, leaving scrapes of ribbon and of humid evening dangling in your wake. Because that is what's flung onto paper, bits of nighttime mixed with blood, ribbons of unmanifested rain, repressed mixed with strips of sacrificed skin. Because to stand stagnant is to leave skin untouched, to leave the night undanced, leave both whole. Because we put things together in order to take others apart. Because somewhere in the seams and in between the threads of page lie droplets of ocean carried over by wind, and we need to breathe them in order for it to rain. Because it needs to rain. Because life is not a race, it's a puzzle. And we haven't even pieced together the edges of the sky. Because we keep asking why and no one will answer. So we search under each leaf, on the spiny vine veins of each tree, along the inside seams of arms, pale white and thin and soft, because we scribble guesswork there for others to write questions to. Because we scribble guesswork and wait for the world to answer.
You are so dear to me. I bruise when you fold up your petals like a Buddha. Had there been premonitions of your coming that I met years before with oblivion, not having yet become myself? Have I left fragments of exoskeleton lying around dead in shuttered rooms? And for what shuttered rooms do you pay rent? At what backroom shrine do you center your Buddhahood? From where do I meet you when you foreclose a thought in mid-sentence? I am alive inside your living. You are as dear to me as the bloom of a bodhisattva foregoing nirvana. You are as lovely to me as the single teardrop on the hand-carved face of Mary. So lovely, I am bruised in between the incongruity of immaculate birth or pure purity, impure, and impure purity. Of the eyelids of the statuette, forever poised to open, forever still, so that it is impossible that if the eyes do not open, there must at least be this clear trace down one cheek. You are as dear to me as Mary foregoing movement to bear the supplications of centuries. You are so dear to me, I thrive in your rich, humid light. You hold me to high windows, over broken corners, bedecked with buds, fiddleheads, and long green creepers, reaching through the busted plaster head of a saint with wings grown green as age. You are as dear to me as our 100th year together in the old dense town we will have found and called home.
It is amazing how you can change a life with one word. That goes for bad words, that goes for good words. When I close the window and lock my door, I no longer surround myself with you. I no longer know you. And sadly, and suddenly, I remove myself from what makes this place a place. Goodbye, land of sand. Goodbye, salt water. Goodbye, sunshine. This town can be like a diseased piece of meat, spewing warped words to townspeople when they meet. One day, this town will meet the maker. One day, they will bump into each other in the elevator. I am erasing the footage of my adolescent documentary film. Fear is a phony film. I can punch through it. Fear is a phony film. I can walk through it. Hello, land of sand. Hello, salt water. Hello, sunshine.
Our home is now aquatically dry. You can't pray this fade away, or wait for all to fade.
My great-grandmother died almost 20 years before I was born, hit by a train near Branford, Florida. A very Southern Gothic way to go. I grew up with her stories. Pinches of snuff filled her mouth. Pinches left bruises on your arm. She was a witch. The black snakes crawled as she whistled. There were nail-covered photos on the side of her barn, songs to the cypress trees. Her daughter shared these things, all told with affection, enthusiasm, awe. There is a life after life for those who are a good story. I'd like to thank you all for joining me here today with good words to start the week. If you'd like to hear your own poetry, prose, spoken word here, get in touch at ruralgloom.com. That's ruralgloom.com. If you'd like to support poetry, spoken word, story here on WGOT, just head to wgot.org and donate. Thank you.